What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is a show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We go through some things and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory, recall, and focus. So, you know, if you're ever feeling like you need a little bit of a mental boost, pop a piece of NeuroGum. It'll get you where you need to be. I like to chew it, you know, before a big meeting or before, you know, I meet with my clients or make some calls. I'll chew it before a workout, before jujitsu, just really anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a pick-me-up. And, you know, if I don't want to reach for another energy drink or coffee, especially later in the afternoon, I'll grab a piece of NeuroGum. It's only about 40 milligrams of caffeine, so it won't keep me up all night and gets me where I need to be. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our sponsors, Captain Beard Co. You know, they've set us up with a podcast code, Zach and Pat, for 10% off any purchases. They create awesome products for beards, but not just beards. They do also have some great body wash that I use and deodorant. And then they also sell candles. So if you're looking just for the overall experience and set the mood with your lady, give Captain Beard Co. a try.
All right, bro. Well, I just had to pop some NeuroGum.
There you go.
Pop some NeuroMints actually here. So I had to get my mind right,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Dealing with a little bit of frustrations here. We're we're some growing pains. We lost our Murph, so we didn't lose him.
He's still there. He's in Florida. He's still going to help out, but we're working on the cameras, working on all that stuff. And, you know, orders get delayed. Shit happens. You got to improvise. And, you know, got the iPhones going.
Got the iPhones going. Got the camera that keeps shutting off on us.
So, but no, it's all right. We'll make do. We'll figure it out. And continue to get better and better with each episode, and then it'll just become second nature. And hell, then we'll just become producers of podcasts like Murph did.
That'll be our new thing.
Yeah.
We'll get out of real estate.
Side hustle. Open up a studio.
Dude, who knows? I mean, I think that'd be a really cool business idea because I don't think there's a lot of that going on here in St. Louis. So, like, I mean, we've talked about it before about like getting a space, renting it out, and then like, you know, making like little studios within it, and then like kind of being like a podcast like hub. And here in St. Louis where people can come and record and you know, we charge a monthly rent or however we, you know, and I'm sure we can figure out ways to, you know, implement editing services and stuff like that. Because that's clearly something that you and I know very, very little about is, you know, the technical side of this, of the media, the cameras, the, you know, the audio, all the visual stuff. I mean, we're learning, but I mean, we're definitely going to be learning as we go here for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, just without, you know, we've been sort of forced to, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, just adapt and keep moving, kind of like what we've already been doing with the show, just another layer that we got to add to it. So we'll be good. It'll just take some time, but I think we'll be just fine. So
yeah, we will too. Oh man, so how's everything going with you, man? How's I know you're at the house on the market.
Yeah,
you guys hit the market this weekend with it.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
Showings booked.
So by the time this comes out, hopefully it's under contract.
Yeah.
So we've got some showings lined up. I've got had some pretty good interest in it. And yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful home. I love that house. And you know, it's kind of bittersweet. Like I'm sad to see it let go of it. You know, built the house, you know, raised the kids in that house. And then just like the relationship with the neighbors. I mean, that's like huge. Like you can't choose your neighbors, but whoever buys this house, you're going to have some kick-ass neighbors, man. It is an unbelievable subdivision, and I'm going to miss them the most. And then like the relationships that my boys had with them, you know, that's tough. Like,
yeah, you can't replace that.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, you know, I'm going to be staying in the area. So, and like I said, we're still so close that, I mean, you know, we'll probably still be seeing quite a bit of them. So
right.
Buying the house better be fucking ghoul,
because
we're gonna be hanging out after you buy this house. So I'm gonna have to vet them. We're gonna maybe have bring them on the podcast.
Yeah. really grill them and interview them.
Yeah. So but no, yeah, it's good. It's just like I said, it's just a bittersweet time, and it's interesting now. You know, I help buyers. I'm giving them the money to buy homes. It's different being on the sell side. It's not something it's not something that I get to experience very often. And I did it back in 2020. You know, when I sold my condo And, you know, that was pretty simple and easy. But now, you know, with the market that we're in, you just, it's a little, it's a different market now. So
different market, different house. I mean, the fact that a house versus a condo are two different. I mean, as far as like amount of action that you're going to get on the house, especially a house like yours, where it's just fucking drop dead gorgeous. Like you're going to get, your guys are going to get some traffic through that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, even at the price point it's at, which is, you know, it's at a good price point. Right. It's you know, but it's also like not a first time home buyer price point.
No.
But you know, you guys still will get a ton of action through that. At least I think you will. But even it would be even crazier if you were in that like 250 to like 350, 400.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would be bananas.
Right.
You know, that you'd be
Yeah.
Like there'd be like you might as well
be nuts.
Just go, you know, stay somewhere for the weekend or whatever. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. So just gonna move out for the weekend just because it's just gonna be constant.
You know? You're gonna be like, I leave again.
Yeah. Where? I don't know yet.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, what are you gonna get, like an Airbnb or go get a hotel or just something?
Yeah. Hell, might even move in with my ex's spare room. I don't know. Just one big happy family.
Yeah.
No, not sure yet. But no, I mean, it's exciting. It is. I'm looking forward to the fresh start. You know, me and I, and some of the guests we've had on, we've talked about house hacking and, you know, I'm going to take some time, you know, probably go rent for a little bit just because, you know, with what I'm seeing out there, I mean, I'm pre-approved to buy. I could go and buy if I wanted to, but ultimately, like for me, like, you know, I'll settle some debts. I'll get squared away there and still have plenty of money to go and buy, but everything that I'm seeing is going to require some work. And I don't know, like I would have to like basically drain everything that I have that I'm making on this house. And I don't want to do that. So, you know, I'll go rent something that's cheaper than where I'm currently at, save some money. You know, again, not basically the only debt at that point that I'd have would be my rent payment and basically just stash money aside. So when that time does come, you know, I'm not saying that where I'm at isn't income wise, isn't stable. It's just, you know, I want it, you know, heading into the, you know, winter months, it gets a little bit slower and I don't want to be going and buying a house and doing all these rehabs. And then all of a sudden it just slows down and, you know, cause it rides that wave and, you know, the income that I'm used to making usually dips in the winter. So it's like, I don't want to be stretched for cash and all that heading into it. So, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, just trying, I think financially making the best financial move and then getting into house hacking, you know, and buying, living in a house for a year as a primary, get in there and then turn around, rent it and, buy another house, do that for a couple of years and kind of build up a rental portfolio.
Yeah, 5 years down the road, you got five properties
between Kirkwood and Baldwin and DePere, you know,
just go buy a little, you know, little three bedroom, two baths, you know, like little 1200 to 1500 square foot,
right.
You know, little three bedroom, two baths. I mean, you know, it's just going to be you and the boys essentially. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it doesn't need to be.
No. And that's, you know, the biggest thing.
You have a bedroom. Both of them have a bedroom.
That was part of the reason why, one of the ultimate reasons why we're getting rid of the house. It's just a big house and it's just me half the time there. And even when the boys are there, it's just like, I spend the entire time cleaning. Like I don't want to do that. I don't want to, like, it takes multiple days to clean the damn house because it is so much space. I mean, it is perfect for a family with kids. Like it is the perfect size for a family with two or three kids. And you know, with the potential to have that whole basement, which is the whole blueprint of the house. I mean, you got 2,400 square feet of unfinished basement that's already got rough in piping for the bathroom and how the design that all the, like the builder's design has a wet bar in there. So you've got the piping for the wet bar. I mean, shoot, it's so big, like plans that we had originally talked about. It's got a 9-foot pour basement, so it's deeper, you know, putting in
nice high ceilings.
Yeah. Golf, like a golf simulator or a movie theater, you know, there's room for a weight room. You can still put two bedrooms and a full bath. Like there's a lot of stuff that you can do in that basement and still have ample storage space. So now I'm pretty excited. Pretty cool. We did, you know, we put a lot, you know, my ex and I, we put our heart and soul into that house, building it and customizing it the way we wanted it. And I mean, it's a beautiful home. And like I said, I'm sad to see it go. My videos aren't going to have my cool blue bookshelves in the back. So it'll be a change. That's one of the big things I'm going to miss about that house. I mean, I lived in that office. Like I was there. I probably spent more time in that office than anywhere else in that house combined, other than the bedroom when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, that's going to be a change, but it's a house.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why I always tell people, like, don't ever get too emotionally attached to house, you know, to real estate, just because, like, you got to, I think if you, you know, keep it in your mind. I mean, obviously, you can love your house, but, like, just know that, like, probably not going to own that house forever. Like, right. There's going to be a time where you're going to have to say goodbye to it.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to look at it as an investment and, you know, like, there's money in that house and you got to get it out.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, there's always going to be a reason that you're going to have to move on. And,
right.
You know, and here's yours.
Yeah.
So you gotta, it's just goodbye for now, you know, and right. you're going to have another home that, you know, probably will be even better.
Yeah.
To look back
well,
on,
down,
you know,
yeah,
down the road, you know, not, you know, might be 5 to 10 years from now, right. But like,
but that's fine. Like,
it's cool. But right. Like the shit that you're doing now is going to, if you, you know, build up this rental portfolio, it's going to take a lot of stress off you. I mean, it might add some stress back in your life, but it will eventually, it's going to add more wealth, you know,
right,
to your portfolio. And it's going to add a whole different aspect. It's going to teach you a lot of things. You know, like, I've learned a lot just from owning some pieces of real estate, you know, it's just like
it's not passive income like people think it is. Like,
no.
It takes work. And
but you learn a lot from people too, you know, and you're going to learn a lot. You're going to, you'll get a, you know, a book. I'm sure you have several contractors that you know, but you'll get to know those people even better. And like, you're going to get to, because you're gonna be like, oh, this is the guy who I call for, you know, for plumbing stuff.
Right.
This is my electrician guy, you know, it's like, and you know, just having that plethora of people is just, that can be the biggest piece of advice I can give you when it comes to real estate investing. Is like, have a great team around you, a great, like, you know, just list of contractors will save you so much of a headache. Like, just make sure that you've got, you know, 2 to 3 guys for just about everything, you know, like, always have like 2 or 3 electricians that you can call, 2 or 3 plumbers you can call, 2 or 3, you know, exterior roof guys, 2 or 3 guys that can repair appliances, 2 or 3 guys that can put in floor and trim and all these other things, and just like have different, because you never know who's going to be busy when. And all right, well, if this guy's booked up for a month, I need to find someone who can get to it now. All right, let me go to my number 2 guy. You know, look at it like a depth chart on a football team.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, I got my number 1 receiver over here, but like he's booked out at this big job in Clayton for the month. Like, I'm not gonna be able to get to him. So all right, I got to go to my number 2. You know, it's like that's kind of how I think about it. And you know. Yeah, that can be the biggest piece of it. Once you get to that, you know, like, you know, obviously I can help you out there. But, you know, it's just that's, we talked about it on the last episode with Sam, you know, like contractors and dealing with contractors as far as like rehabs and real estate investing, like that can be like the biggest headache part of it.
Right.
And like finding people that you can rely on is a huge, huge piece of that.
Yeah.
So
I get it, man. And I'm looking forward to it. New, like I said, new journey, new adventure. Starting from, you know, you're not challenging yourself and getting better moving forward from, you know, facing the adversity and getting through it. Like, yeah, why not? Like, let's do it.
You're like a tree, man.
Yeah.
If you're not growing, you're dying.
What about you? What's new? What's going on with you? What's new with you?
Man, well, I mean, I've got lots of listings going on, so that's kept me pretty busy. I've got a big match coming up here in 2 weeks, so I'm getting ready for that. But kind of one thing I wanted to talk about, well, today I saw something that I was like, man, I don't know if this just kind of like, it shocked me when I saw it. I was driving out of my neighborhood and I saw a guy cutting down. He was like part of like a tree service crew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy had to have weighed, I'm not trying to be mean, but this guy was probably north of 350, 400 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Walking around with a tree service community, like with one of those like oxygen tanks.
Really?
Like, I was like, what am I seeing here?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I was
cutting,
like,
down a tree attached to
an oxygen tank.
Oh,
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, well, one, give it to him for wanting to be out there and putting in the work.
Yeah, but I was like, man, like that is some dedication
right
there. That was, I just saw that today, but anyway, I always write down weird things that
come
I see
across
and experience, and I'm like, oh, that'd be something to just bring up on the podcast. But yeah, I saw that today. Whoa.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's one thing I kind of wanted to get into, cause I know you've got a lot of experience with it. I've got, you know, a good amount of experience with it. And I know that we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are athletes and people, but like dealing with injuries, you know, when it comes to, you know, sports, you know, and people like high performers and stuff like that. I know you've had, you know, a couple surgeries and come back from some crazy, you know, broke your knee
luckily no surgeries.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah. No surgeries, but
you know, you've dealt with some injuries.
Yes.
So, you know, I know we have a lot of people on here that have definitely dealt with injuries. I know I've dealt with several and, you know, and I think that would just be a kind of a good thing to chat about. But I recently had had a, you know, a little bit of an injury recently that, like I'm kind of getting over as I get ready for this match, you know, but, I had a little bit of a, like a health scare, I guess. And it kind of came from an injury. But I got hit in the balls really hard at jiu-jitsu.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, I've been hitting the balls fucking 1,000 times probably in my life. Maybe not 1,000. Maybe that's being a little dramatic, right. But hundreds of times for sure. And you know, normally it hurts, but then you know, a couple minutes later, you're all right. Shake
jump
it off,
up and down.
Kind of jump around. You're like, all right, you know, that feeling kind of goes away. But this was like a different feeling. And I just, and it hurt for like, it was like 4 days later and it was like still hurting. It was like, just like one of my nuts. and I was like, dude, I don't know if this dude just like kicked it really hard or just got like really like pinpoint accuracy on it. But I was like really concerned. I was I was like, all right, man, it's like something structurally wrong.
Or like twisted.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I, you know, and that's all the Googling led me to.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, getting it twisted is
like,
can be deadly.
100%, or yeah, I found that out. Yeah. So anyway, I went to the doctor. Ended up getting an ultrasound done on my nuts. They were not twisted, thankfully. Yeah. Just like bruised really bad, basically, is I think was the conclusion. But getting an ultrasound done on your nutsack is a not something I'd ever experienced before. Never thought I would experience it. I've sat through several ultrasounds with my wife. And it's pretty much the same process.
You're just
Just flopped out, you know, like she's like, all right, take this towel, prop it under your nuts. And, you know, she's like, flip your penis like up under your belly and like cover it with this towel. And then like, you know, so it's like just your balls there. And then she's got the, you know, puts the warm jelly or like jelly on them like is like, you know, rubbing. It was just the fucking weirdest thing, you know. And then we're talking, her son was a wrestler. You know, we're talking about wrestling while she's, you know, like.
Moving around
on my balls. It was the weirdest thing, bro. But we found out everything's okay.
Good.
Good. But they're feeling better now. But this was probably about a week ago. Probably about 2 weeks ago now. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, this could be a story I bring up on the podcast. for guys out there that you know, get hit and you're hurt and you're worried, you know, God, you know, but I did find out if you do, you know, the twisting, it's really bad. And apparently, like, if it goes the longer that you go with them twisted, like the chances are that you're going to lose that nut goes up dramatically.
Well, that and because so speaking of like, so I had a kidney stone a couple of years ago and talk about a terrible pain.
I've heard
throwing up. I was hurting so bad. Like it was bad. And so I started researching it because I'd never felt this pain before and never had a kidney stone. And, you know, my test, it was called testicular torsion.
When they twist
and like reading, you go down that rabbit hole and you're like, yeah, you could die from this, especially if it's like something that's ruptured, you could bleed out. And so I immediately got in the car and went and got an x-ray and an MRI done and all that, and found out that it was a kidney stone, rather large, 4 millimeters. And basically
pee it out, right?
Oh yeah. It was miserable.
Delivering a baby.
Oh God. And they're like, oh yeah, here, whenever you go pee into this net and try and catch it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I just never tried to catch it. I'm like, just get the fuck out of my body.
Did you like see it come out?
I just like, when you did, it's just like a release. Just like, oh God, it felt like it hurts, but it felt like instant relief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was just like focusing on just like pushing as hard as I could every time I went to pee. And eventually, yeah, it can't.
But shot out of there.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, and that's the thing is,
it's
like,
so,
they're
so
small.
They're like this little tiny.
That
thing.
Little fucking thing hurts so bad. Yeah, I mean, my whole body was sore for like 2 weeks after that. After I passed it, but like the pain, during it, oh my God, that was miserable.
Yeah, dude.
Kidney stones are not fun.
No, dude. Just anything with your like dick balls area, like it just makes me skin, you know, quiver. Like. I'm like, I hate it about myself, or, you know, I'm bad about this, but like, I'm always like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm like trying to be like the tough guy. Like, I'll wake up tomorrow. It'll be fine. And that's what I was doing with this.
Right.
And then eventually, like on day four, I like eventually told Gina about it. Cause I just like, I do tend to like hide injuries and stuff from her.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I hide things. Cause she like tends to overreact. I'm like, yeah, just typically things are fine.
Yeah.
Especially with jujitsu and what I'm doing all the time. I'm like slamming my body into other people's bodies and like, shit happens, and then you know, you wake up 2 days later and it's fine, you know. And it's like little shit like that all the time. Like, for example, I got kneed in the face really hard like on Monday, and like still hurts to bite down. Yeah. But like I know, and like I know by like this weekend, I'm gonna be fine. Chewing fine. But like right now, like to take bites, it kind of hurts. But like I'll be all right. You know, like the shit like that I deal with all the time. But it's like, all right, there, but there are some things that you got to like realize. All right, maybe I am. Maybe this isn't something I can walk off and like just be fine. Like you should probably go get this looked at.
Yeah, the difference between pain and being hurt.
Yeah, being hurt. We always said hurt, being hurt and being injured. Two different things. You know, like being injured, you know, like you got something seriously wrong. You tore something. You probably should go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Being hurt is a little boo-boo, a little bruise, a little, you know, twist your ankle, you know, like little thing like that. Like you can, you'll get over that little broken finger, you know, I mean, little things, you know, that you can kind of mend yourself or, you know, kind of muscle through. But then there's definitely things that are serious injuries and like you need to go get that looked at, especially things like we were talking about with the twisted nut. Like you know, like at least the lady that I talked to, she was like, yeah, I mean, at this point, if your nuts were twisted, like you, and you didn't, you waited this long, like the nut might be, it would probably be dead to be honest. And we'd probably have to remove it. And I'm like, holy fuck. I mean, thankfully it wasn't that, but like, fuck. Now that's where that like being too tough for your own good or really kicking in the ass.
Right. Well, that, and like, I mean, I went to lunch with Adam. I mean, we talking about some of those injuries, but like, how easy it is to get like staph infections, especially like with
in grappling,
grappling sports, because you're rolling around and sweating and all of that stuff. But like, I mean, cuts aren't anything to fuck around with, like especially bad ones. Yes. And you know, like I had a guy step on my foot with a hockey skate when I was in high school, and damn near cut my pinky toe off. And me being a tough guy, not thinking anything of it, I just taped it up and went out and played. And you know, it's like, oh, fine. So I kept it clean and all that. But it was like right around time that was like towards the end of the hockey season when baseball was starting up. So then you start baseball practice and there's dirt, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like you got shoes on, but you still like.
Yeah. When you take off, I remember taking off baseball cleats, your socks are always covered in dirt.
Yeah. So, you know, and that was the thing. And like I kept it clean and taped and all that. But eventually it did. It got infected and developed like a staph infection in that cut. It was crazy because it was starting to spread up my legs and I had to go to the hospital. And when we get there, they're like, yeah, if you would have waited any longer, hell, we might have had to amputate your leg. Because if that gets to a certain point, the only way to, if this antibiotic doesn't stop the spread, the only other option at that point is to take the limb that's infected so it doesn't reach your heart. Yeah, so it doesn't get into your blood and spread to your heart and kill you. And so that was a huge shock for me when I was a sophomore in high school. But like that's the thing is like you're like, oh, I'm fine, I'll work through it. I mean, the year before when I was a freshman, I broke my ankle in the beginning of a game and finished the game. I mean, you're in a hockey skate.
Yeah.
It hurts, but it's like having a boot on. But yeah, I mean it was pretty painful. And you know, that staph infection though, man. And I had a buddy who was a catcher in pro ball. The guy hitting bat broke on a pitch and it hit my buddy in the leg. He didn't realize, like, it got a little splinter in there. He pulled it out, but, like, a piece broke off, and it ended up getting MRSA. And they had to, like, cut up the side of his leg to drain it. It looked like it got attacked by a damn shark. Yeah. And it was bad.
I mean, staph infections are scare the living out of me, bro. Like, it's like you said, it's so common in like, the sport that I do. And, I mean, I had a pretty crazy experience with one of my good friends, Blake. He doesn't train with us anymore at Watson's, but he was there. He was like one of my main training partners when he was there. And I mean, pretty much one of the reasons he's down in Texas now, but he was after this whole thing. And I don't exactly remember how the injury happened. I thought it started with something with his ankle and then somehow it got into his arm. But he was having he had this like, crazy bad staph infection and like, you know, I was trying to be a tough guy about it. And, you know, it's from my understanding, it was like he was found in his apartment and, you know, apparently was like hallucinating. And I think it was his ex-girlfriend, like ended up bringing him to the hospital. And, you know, he had several surgeries, like he was about to lose his arm a couple times. And, you know, and it was just so crazy because he, you know, and then like seeing like what, you know, what all these surgeries and what this like did to him, like it just like changed him. Like, I mean, like it definitely. Like when we went and saw him, I mean, he had lost like a ton of weight. I mean, he looks like he's doing great now. I mean, I still follow him on social media and we still, you know, go back and forth, but like it definitely like really fucked him up like pretty good for a long time. And this was probably like 2 years ago now. I mean, now he's back to training. He's in a gym down there. He seems super happy. He got his purple belt recently. But he was like, he's a bad motherfucker. And it just, you saw this thing just take him down.
Yeah, it's insane.
Terrifying.
How those things like that can happen. Like another one too is like concussions. Don't fuck with those. I mean, I had quite a few playing hockey growing up, through high school. And I mean, that, and eventually that's really what ended my hockey career was
concussions.
Too many concussions. Yeah. Really? Just like, you gotta get your physical for high school sports, and talking to them, and they're like, oh yeah, how many concussions do you have? And you're like, well, I've had like two serious ones, but I feel like I've had my, you know, like three or four like minor ones. And like, wait, you got like six? Well, like, I think I got diagnosed for four of them. And so while I was in high school, in like a 3-year time period, they're like, yeah, it's not smart for you to play a sport like this right now. And I mean, it took me a long time. Like, I'm still like sensitive to light. Like when I, like up until relatively recently, like I remember like baseball, like if I wasn't in the game, like it was great that we played night games, but like when we had day games, like sunglasses on all the time. Like, and thankfully I didn't really pitch all that much in too many day games. So, but yeah, I mean, there was times where it was like, fuck, this is super bright. And you know, now, like thinking back on it, and like where I'm at, like part of that is like short-term memory type stuff, like where I'm at with that. But then you got like the CTE scares, like, you know, anytime, like especially you, because like you're not intentionally like trying to ram somebody with your head, but I bump heads all the time.
I took a knee to the face on my, like, you know, like, I mean, I think the worst thing for my head, I mean, I've definitely had some, you know, some got knocked and slammed on my head, dropped on my head, you know, many, many times in wrestling and jujitsu. But I mean, the worst thing by far was football. Yeah. I played football for 4 years, you know, I mean, and I was a lineman, you know, like every single play was a car crash, you know, like you're just shooting off
face
the line,
face to face,
you know, I'm ramming you with my head. I know you're not supposed to, but that's what I was, you know, I was one of the smaller offensive linemen, and I played defensive line, and like, but dude, I can remember, like, I've never had like a diagnosed concussion. Like, I've never been like gone to the hospital for like a crazy bad concussion, but I've definitely had some concussions. Like, there's without a doubt, like there's like several instances that I can remember where, you know, just, and it was always on like kickoffs, and kickoffs are the fucking worst. I mean, like, as far as like dangerous, you know, cause you just got just people just running full speed at each other, you know, with like, you know, 20, 30 yards of buildup. And then you know, all the pads, and you're wearing a, you know, helmet on, makes you feel invincible. And I just remember there was this one practice I'll never forget. I remember I was on the return team, and I just remember it was just the guy that was lined up with me. He was our center, and he was just him. He was one of my, he's looking back on it now, he's like one of my good friends, but like at the time, you know, he was definitely being a bully.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like three plays in a row. And I mean, he just cleaned my clock full sprint three times in a row. And just like, I just remember like my head just like ringing for like 2 days afterwards, you know? And, I mean, there's definitely like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do have a really bad memory, and I'm like, I'm curious, do I have some sort of CTE? Like, I don't know. I played football for 4 years. I'm sure there's probably some piece of it. Who knows? Right. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the only way to know, I think, is after you're dead, they like dissect your brain. Yeah. But so
I don't know if there's, I think, you know, there might be some early detection stuff now, but then, you know, for a while there, the only way they could find out it was if you had passed away.
Yeah. And they like, they look at your brain. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, so it's just scary if you're out there. You just got to be aware of, you know, I worry about that a lot with like fighters and stuff, you know, like people that are, you see that a lot with like people that don't want to like hang up the gloves.
Right.
You know? I mean, cause they kind of have their whole identity, you know, tied around it, you know, and they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do if I'm not a fighter. And, you know, they stay in it too long. You know, there's guys out there. I mean, one that comes to mind right away Tony Ferguson's one of them. You know, I mean, and you don't really see a lot of interviews of him like speaking, but like, you know, I'm sure there's no way that you go through, you know,
that he's had
and you're not affected. And, you know, there's a lot of people.
Michael Chandler that roundhoused him, wasn't it?
Front kicked him. And there's that picture of him like with that still of like Chandler's foot in his chin, and his like face is like all the skin has moved, you know, crazy. You know, so I mean, there's very good chance that he's got some sort of CTE, and it's like, you know, at some point you got to kind of hang it up. But, you know, on the other hand, like who are we to say their life, you know, and you know, it's, if it's what they want to do, it's what they want to do, you know, but you never know what's going on in their life. Cause you got to look at it. That's how they make money.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
that's the thing. Kind of the double-edged sword there.
Right. And that's the thing too. As long as like, if you're going to be playing sports, there's always going to be that. There's always that opportunity or chance for injury. So, you know, there's ways, ultimately, if you're in the gym working out, and then like for me with baseball, like when I broke my knee, or broke my my leg, you know, if you look at the video and you look at the steel frame, you should think like, holy shit, you just tore every ligament in your knee. But like for me, like I was doing yoga 2-3 times a week. Like people, one of the greatest things that I was always told from a young age was like, flexibility and balance equals strength, and like real strength. And so for me, like that always stuck with me. And so I always, when I was playing, I always made sure that I was always doing some sort of long stretch, like yoga and things like that, just to keep that flexibility. Because if you look at it, and like I was so flexible, like when I would stand there, I would naturally hyperextend my knees. Mm-hmm. And so, but when I broke my leg, like, yeah, I hyperextended it. But at the same time, like those ligaments and muscles were so strong from training and doing stretching and all that, and the elasticity that I had created in those muscles and ligaments, that they didn't snap, they didn't break. And so the only thing that happened was the head of my tibia, fibula, and femur impacted and cracked on the heads of each of those bones and fractured. And so that's how that happened. But it could have been way worse had I not done, you know, the proper strength training and stretching and those, that routine to protect those joints. You know, obviously, like you can't, it's hard, you can't train for concussions, you know, but those are usually some sort of freak accidents in sports. And, but like when protecting ligaments, which is where you see a lot of injuries.
Yeah, especially
knees. Yeah.
MCL, LCL.
Yeah, is doing that. But then like when I was playing baseball, like my favorite thing to do was go to the chiropractor. Hell, I just was there yesterday. I got to see Dr. Brett. Yeah.
Okay, because you weren't here for his episode, right?
No, I missed that one.
So is that the first time you met
First
him?
Time I met him. Yeah, it was great, awesome. Dude, huh? We had a great conversation. But yeah, no, I've been having issues with my hip flexors for a really, really long time. And the people that follow me on social media know that I've been walking a lot more. And so I was walking the other day, and like it goes off and on, the hip flexor. But like I walking and not really paying attention to the ground in front of me, and there was an elevated piece of sidewalk, and my toe hit it and tripped, and I was like, fuck. And I tweaked that
hip flexor.
Yeah. Again. And I'm, and like all the, like the last couple of days, like I was having a hard time walking. And so like I went in, I made an appointment with him, got in and saw him, and he's like, yeah, man, I can get this fixed real quick. Your right leg is shorter right now than your left, and that's probably causing it. So he twisted me around, popped me pretty good, yanked on the leg and got it back in place. And I was like, that pain was gone. It was awesome. But so now we're working on preventative stuff to keep it from happening and keeping my legs at the same length so it doesn't happen again. I think chiropractic is awesome. You know, like I said, I when I was playing, because of the amount of force when it comes to throwing and the rotational force that you have, my lower back, like my SI joints, would rotate constantly. So I was constantly having to go in and get those readjusted, and that just kind of, it's just another preventative treatment that you can put into play to protect yourself. And being in alignment, it helps with the blood flow, it helps with so many different things that, you know, I highly recommend going to see chiropractors, adjusted regularly. It's just not something that I had done in a while. And
I haven't been in forever.
Yeah, and it was funny because like I said, I used to go all the time, and it had been a minute since I'd went. And he's like, well, let's just check out some of the other, and crack my neck, and it was just like, holy shit, like there's like so four or five cracks in one. And
feels
was,
like your like oh, yeah. head is floating above mm-hmm. your body there for a second.
Yeah, and then he did another one too on my foot. He adjusted something in my foot, and I was like, holy shit, like my ankle now has like more mobility in it, and like I don't know, it was great. Yeah, so yeah,
he's great. Mm-hmm. I love Dr. Brett. good old Brett Lux.
Yeah,
those twins, I tell you.
Yeah,
they're I could tell you stories about them, but I don't want to do that to him.
Go back and listen to the podcast episode with him. There's a few on there.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time I'd seen the Lux brothers get into a fist fight and multiple times where only one of them was clothed, like where they'd like come home in the middle of like, you know, they were sharing a dorm room. I was roommates with them and Blair Shannon. So we were like a 6-person suite. So we each had like, it was like 3 rooms, and each room had 2 guys in it. There's like a little living room. And there's multiple times where like, you know, one of them came home and the other one was in there with a girl, and like, you know, like, no, I want to go, I want to get in there. I got to get in there. And the other one, and like, of course that starts a fight. And then like one of them just butt ass naked fighting the other one. Like, it's just hilarious shit. Like, I love those fucking guys. I've seen them do some crazy shit before.
Oh, that's too funny.
Good brother shit. Yeah. But one thing I did want to like chat about is, you know, at least anytime I've had any sort of injury, like how you deal with it mentally. Cause it's something that, like, especially if like you know, you tie your identity to being a baseball player, being a jiu-jitsu guy, mm-hmm. being a fighter, being whatever it is. And then like for that short amount of time, you're out because of a surgery or some big injury. Like, that really affects people, you know, like, I know it's affected me whenever I've, you know, been out for any stint of time and I can't train. And like, that's like my one thing that's all I want to do. And, and one thing that's helped me a ton is just like trying to get better at other things. All right, well, okay, I can't train jiu-jitsu right now because I'm hurt. What, you know, what can I get better on? Can I, you know, is there a film I can watch? Like, okay, well, my knees hurt. Okay, well, I can still work out my upper body. You know, like, I can still go to the gym and get better there. You know, I can get, you know, work on my pull-ups, work on my push-ups. I can do all these other things. Just because my leg doesn't work doesn't mean like I can't do other things. At least that's one thing I've always been like pretty big on. Anytime I've had any sort of injury, is like, okay, well, this is not a time to just sit around and feel sorry for myself. Like, right. I got to continue to get better, because like, if I'm not getting better, I'm getting worse. And you know, have you dealt with that anytime you've gotten had any sort of injury? Like, what's your kind of mentality whenever you've dealt with an injury?
So it depends. Like, depends on how serious the injury is. Like, if it's just nagging, annoying pain, is one thing. But like, serious injury, like with my leg, I was out. Yeah. I was
like, when you had the knee, when you had you broke your leg.
So yeah. That happened in the middle of August, and I was rehabbing until the end of October. And then even coming back was all like body weight stuff. So I wasn't even put any like weight on. Like, I could do body weight squats and lunges mm-hmm. and things like that, but like lifting weights wise, I mean, it was a very slow, drawn out process. And I think that really helped. Just because, you know, it allowed me to slowly ease back into being pain free. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was because if everybody was always like, well, how do you not, like, when you get back on the mound, just you're not worried that's going to happen.
How did you
again.
Break it again? Tell everybody.
I was throwing a pitch. And I can have Murph clip in the video of it, but I was throwing a pitch and I was coming out of the bullpen. I was doing my warm up pitches, and guy that started in front of me was a lot taller than I was, but he had a really awkward, like, short stride length for his height. And the dude was almost 7 foot tall, and he had a very short stride length, but like, even his short stride length was further out than what my stride length was in my warmups. Well, he had developed a hole where his foot had been landing, and, the very first pitch of the game, once I was done with my warmups, and like during my warmups, I was a good 3-4 inches back behind it. So I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. And then very first pitch, you know, coming in and you're as a reliever, you know, you're trying to rear back and cut it loose. I overstrided. And when I overstrided, I hit the hole and my foot slid into it, but I went to complete the pitch. So when I did that, my
heel dipped into it.
My foot hit and my, so like, imagine this was my knee, like I landed here and then my foot slipped and my knee, like, hyper-extended. It just hyperextended,
knee barred yourself.
Yeah. And when that happened, like, the way when you look at it on video, you're like, holy shit, there goes your entire knee, surgery, everything, you're pretty much done. But luckily, like I said, between yoga and the flexibility that I developed, it just caused the heads of the tibia, fibula, and femur to hit. Fracture. And your adrenaline's running so much that like it hurt initially, but you're still like, once I stood up from it, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. So I went to throw like a warm up, like another pitch, just to like kind of see how it felt. And it just
collapsed.
Yeah. And that's when the pain kicked in. And I mean, it swelled up like this. I mean, they had to, I mean, it took quite a few days for the swelling to go down before I can even get in for an X-ray and MRI. But yeah, so that, I mean, that was a longer drawn out recovery process. And I think for me, it was like preparing myself, like, hey, okay, nothing's torn. You've broken bones before and you can come back from it. And if something had been torn, it might have been a little bit different mentally for me, but I knew that it was just patience. And patience is something that I've always had. And I just knew that, like, hey, I just got to show up. And I know that, like, hey, for the next, like, month and a half, it's going to be very limited on what I can do, but I just need to make sure that I'm doing what I can do. And then once I am cleared, then, again, not trying to push it too hard, but stay within what I can do. And then, like, each day pushing it more and more and more until that pain's gone. And then once the pain was gone, I didn't have any issues and I didn't think about it. It's just like one of those things, like, hey, it's in the past. It's a freak accident. It's never going to happen again. It's just is what it is. And just go out there and play. And I think if you're timid on stuff like that, that's where you wind up getting hurt again. So I just still went balls to the wall like I was and didn't try and change it. So, but like, when it comes to like little nagging injuries, like I learned this in a book that I read about baseball, Mental Game of Baseball. And a lot of that nagging injury stuff is stuff that's like in your mind. And like, if you can train your mind to push it aside, odds are you can work right past it because your mind is so powerful. So like the trick is like you get into a meditative state. You get in, you control your breathing, you close your eyes. And what you do is like you picture, like for me, like I have, like I said, I would have lower back pain from my SI joints rotating. And so for me, what I would do is I'd lay down on the ground or in a bed and close my eyes and just focus on my breathing, get to that relaxed state where I'm totally focused. And what I would do is imagine like my lower back and like that pain. And I can like to where I'm visualizing the pain is like this red piece of paper. And it's just, it's right there. It's glowing and I'm looking at it. And I'm visualizing myself going in and just grabbing that piece of paper, crumbling it up, feeling it in my hand, feeling the weight, and then literally just throwing it away. And doing that, and yeah, sounds crazy, but I would do that, and that would help clear up that pain. And it would just be gone from my mind, and I would stop thinking about it, and I wouldn't feel the pain. And I remember doing this specifically. I got invited down to this underclassmen national or world showcase down in Florida, and long plane ride, flying down into, I forget where we flew into, but then we had to drive into Fort Myers. So it was like, you know, it was a long flight and then a long drive. And my body was just aching. My SI joints were barking at me. So, and I was supposed to go, like everything started the very next day. So really no time to recoup or recover. It was just, hey, you got to figure out a way to do this. And I remember getting into that hotel room and doing exactly that. And then woke up, you know, did that that night and went to bed. And I could see like, yeah, I was starting to feel a little bit better. And then the next night, our next day, woke up that morning, was a little sore. And I did it again. I did that process again and then went to the field and felt great and wound up having a really good showcase, pitched in a game and did really well. And yeah, it was just, it's amazing what you can do with your mind. And when it comes to like little nagging injuries and things like that, when you just put it, like picture yourself or put it out of your mind and get it out from thinking about it. Cause then like, that's the problem is like you start feeling it and then you're like, oh my God, then you start thinking about it. And that's when it starts kind of
building up
and getting worse. But if you can separate that from your mind and you stop thinking about it, that pain will go away. And so that's what I would do with like nagging little stupid pain. You know, it's just, and like, part of that too is like being hockey. You're supposed to be tough. Like you're supposed to play through pain and all the, yeah, I mean, I started playing hockey when I was three. Let's see if I stopped playing after my junior year. So I was at 16, 17 years old. So a long portion of my life was playing like that and playing through pain.
Yeah. Tough guy.
And,
yeah. It's like so, where I have a hard time relating to sports like soccer stuff where, you know, you see people like flop on the ground and like they want to like get the injury call and stuff. And it's like, man, I come from a world where like if you show you show that you're injured, that is a fucking weakness. And then that person on the other side of the field is going to take advantage of that. You know, like, you know, if I'm matched up with a guy and he's got if I'm wrestling him or doing a jiu-jitsu match against him and he's got a wrist brace on, it's like, oh, well, maybe that's the arm I'm attacking. Yeah. You know, like there's, well, it gets, I mean, I hate to say it, that's how you think about it, but that is, you know, and it's like, you know, so you don't want to show your injury, you know, you never, like, that's why I have a hard time relating to I have a hard time watching soccer because I'm like, fuck, dude, like you just fell on the ground and like yelling because like all he did was like bump into it. You know, I'm like,
yeah. Well, I think to a point, yes, But when you think about it in terms of strategy and how the game's played, they're not like, so you think the first things that come to mind is soccer and basketball.
Yeah.
Like those aren't physical, like you're not hitting, tackling, put like, that's not that what that sport's about. You know, it's a skilled sport and, you know, there's some collisions and some of those collisions, like going up for a head ball and you're bashing heads. Like I'm sure that's pretty fucking painful, but ultimately like on the strategy side of it, like, hey, you know that if you're late in a game or, and you need to get the ball back and, you know, yeah, you're going to, as a strategy,
milk
right. You're going to milk it. It's not like it's something like you're not, or like with games, like you can get a guy that gets a red card and he's their best player and he's getting tossed. Like there's a strategy behind it. I don't think these guys are flopping because they're, you know, they're wusses. I think they're flopping due to strategy, you know? Yeah. And now it's like when you see LeBron James go down for something small and then he's having to get carted off the field. And then you look at like people like Kobe who tear your Achilles and you walk to the foul line and take your shots and then you leave. Like, yeah, that's different.
It's different.
But like when you're it's like I said, it all depends. Like if someone goes down and it's just for a strategy to get the ball back or to get somebody a red card in soccer or to draw a foul in basketball to get the ball back late in the game, like I can understand that. But like if it's like, hey, you get fouled, but then now like you're looking at it, now you're having to get carted off the field or off the court or carried off or whatever, that's where I'm going to judge you.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I guess I shouldn't say judge, but like look at you and be like, really? Like, come on.
No, I'll say it. I'll judge you.
Yeah. What am I talking about? I'm going to judge you for that.
For sure.
You know, so it just depends on the situation for me, but I get what you're saying in terms of that. But like, I think there's more in those sports. I think there's more strategy to those flops than actual, like these guys aren't actually hurt, but like they know that they can draw some sort of penalty or get the ball back or something like that, that gives them an edge. Doesn't mean right. I don't, you know, that's that sport. I don't play those sports.
Yeah, I don't play them either.
Yeah,
I played.
Yeah, I like to actually hit people. That was my thing. I enjoyed it. And like baseball, like I would throw at guys and get fights. You know, that's what it was. So
yeah, I'm the same way. I just always was more interested in sports with, you know, physical consequences.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if that was me just always wanting to be a tough guy or, you know, because I was always, I'm not a big guy. You know, like I think that's part of where. Yeah, it's part of like where my like love for like wrestling and like jujitsu and all that stuff came from, because I was just like an insecure, unathletic fat kid, you know, like smaller guy my whole life. And like, I just wanted to like be the tough guy, you know, I always wanted to be seen as like, I just never, or maybe it wasn't that I wanted to be the tough guy, but I just never wanted to be seen as like the guy that you can pick on.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what ultimately like made me gravitate to those things, you know, and like after experiencing like, and then like getting into that and having a person that's much smaller than me beat the fuck out of me. Oh, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay. Like that's all right. Well, if he or she can do that to me, like then if I'm smaller, I can do that to a bigger person.
Right.
And like, it's gonna, and that also like came with like a level of confidence and like, you know, it elevated a lot of things in my life. So, I mean, that would be, it's like definitely one of the best decisions I ever made for me. And it's something I love to do.
Right.
It's the only sport I've ever been like halfway decent at. Like,
yeah.
Never been good at any other sport. Like you probably never see me throw a ball, but it's not very good.
It's amazing. You know? Though, but like, that's the thing is like, and I could have this debate, but like, you know, baseball players get knocked for their athleticism, but I'd be honest. I think some of the best athletes in the world are baseball players because it's such a unique skill set that I know a lot. I mean, I bet you could take the best athlete in the Major League Baseball and put him in any other sport and he's going to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, shit. A lot of the guys I played college and pro ball with had, or not maybe not so much college, but in pro ball had scholarship offers for other sports other than baseball.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, look at guys like, you know, Russell Wilson.
Right.
Who else has played ball? I mean, Michael Jordan. Best basketball player of all time went in and was like a halfway decent, you know, not even like, not even a good baseball player, you know, like, you know, like he's, you know, he just went from being two different things. Like, who knows if Michael would have like dedicated his whole life to baseball, like he did, you know, basketball, like could he have been, you know, the Michael Jordan of baseball? We don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you never know. And then, you know, guys like who else can we think of? Played
Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Hall of Fame football player.
Yeah.
And he was an average baseball player.
Right.
You know, Who else? Bo Jackson. And that guy's a fucking,
freak.
Yeah, that's a once in a generation right there. I mean, that guy,
just tore his quad off the bone.
Oh, God. I mean, it's just insane how talented that man was. Trying to think who else. I mean, you don't see it much anymore. Not with the way training goes and what these teams are wanting and dedication out of that player. Like, I don't think it's possible that you're going to see multi-sport athletes like that anymore. But I know guys that I played pro ball with, especially like football. Like, you see a big correlation with football, baseball players and athletic wise. So, you know, I know some guys that played pro ball couldn't make it all the way to the big leagues. Like, they wanted to get released and then they went back to college and played football.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a thing, man. It's like you have that athleticism and you're good enough to play baseball. And you can convert that athleticism into other sports. You know, you see a lot of people do that. Yeah. And you said Russell Westbrook. I mean, I played against him in minor league ball.
That's cool.
And the year we got drafted, played against each other, and it's called like short season A ball. So it's like half a season, and it's a little bit higher than rookie ball, but not quite full season A team. And we played against each other, and he was all right, but you know. Well, like, you can tell guys that are like, all right, that fucker's going to make it.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure
you're like, yeah, man, probably made the right choice going back to college, play football. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But, yeah. So anyway.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, comment what you thought below, hit that like button, and we will see you next time.